Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl, and good morning, everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Gene and I are delighted that we have a church, and we are members of a great church in Austin called Austin Cathedral. I like the name. Hallelujah. Gene, why don't you come, and we're going to pray together. The Bible says, if any two agree, touching any one thing, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Gene and I, in June of 1966, responded to the call to preach. I had responded to the call to pray 5 months earlier. In February of 1966, the Holy Spirit said to me, son, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. I was a radio announcer and disc jockey and newscaster, and I was also an engineer. Being an engineer at the radio station, I had to be at work at 3:30 in the morning. So I was already getting up at 3. I mean, if I give God the first hour of my day, I have to get up at 2. So I said to God, God, do you know what time I get up? I didn't think he knew. I didn't think God even got up that early. But I explained to him, but he said, son, if you give me the first hour of your day. So it was a life-changing experience, February 1966. And it was a radical departure of the norm. But then in June of that same year, a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson came to our church. And he preached, and I knelt down. And the Lord said to me, son, I want you to preach my gospel. Will you preach my gospel? And I said, yes. David Wilkerson laid his hands on me, and I started preaching right away. And I've been preaching now for 52 years. I went home and told Jean, I said, the Lord called me to preach tonight. Will you go with me? She said, I'll go wherever you go. So for 52 years, we've been doing it together. There's nothing the two people agreeing together, doing it together, cannot do. So thank you, Jean, for making the journey. What a wonderful wife I have. I want you to take hands of somebody. Let's agree right now. Father, we just pray your will be done here in the service today. Your will, plan, and purpose be done. Anoint me, your servant, to preach, to declare the word of the Lord. Anoint our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Can we do that? Thank you for sowing into our lives and ministry. Gene and I have lived with the gospel for 51 years. We've lived with the gospel. For a while, I was a preacher and a disc jockey. I was a country music disc jockey and a preacher. I don't know what kind of combination that is, but then in March 1967, we just started preaching. So that's what we've been doing now. And thank you for sowing into our lives. I want to read from Luke chapter 4 today. It's good to have a couple of our team members. You probably know Ian, Allison, Kieber. They're part of our ministry team. Just in case you don't know, Ian, Allison, y'all stand. Ian, Allison, Kieber. What a blessing they are. Hallelujah. 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 You know how much I love the Holy Ghost here and how thankful that Gene and I are to have Bill and Sue Hart as our pastors. What a wonderful couple. And we feel safe here and we feel secure here. We know that we have a pastor that's watching for us, loving us, caring for us, and thankful for Bill and Sue Hart. We've actually been coming and ministering at this church since 1986. I don't know if anybody knew that or not. That's a long time ago, isn't it, Donna? I think Donna was here then, and she came and stayed. So we're thankful for Bill and Sue Hart, and we pray they'll have a wonderful vacation, and their family. We love their family, Darren and Jennifer and David and Anna and all of the family. Hallelujah. You found Luke chapter 4? I'm going to preach a little while, then we're going to pray. Verse 16, so speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This was in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Somebody say, anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus stood up and said, I'm anointed to do three things. I'm anointed to preach. I'm anointed to heal. And I'm anointed to deliver. It is very important as sons and daughters of God to know where your anointing lies. Now, the devil knows where your anointing is. He wants to steal your anointing. Samson laid in the lap of Delilah, and she was just trying to find where his anointing was. Where his anointing was. And his hair represented his anointing. And so that's where the devil was wanting to take. Once they took Samson's anointing, then he was helpless. So our strength lies not just in our gifts, our talents, our abilities, because all of us have gifts and talents and abilities. I had an ability to speak long before I began to preach, but there was not really an anointing on my talking on the radio or my public speaking. The anointing came upon me to preach when the Lord called me to preach, and then he put his hands on my head and anointed me to preach. So all of us have an anointing, and what the devil wants to do is find out where our anointing is and take the anointing from us so that we will just live a normal life. A normal life means that we just go through life, hoping we'll make it till Friday, trying to make a living, hoping we can make our house payment, hoping we someday will be able to retire, at least maybe be able to take a 2-week vacation. But we just go through life, but we actually never live life. But Jesus actually said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have life abundantly, but you cannot have the abundant life unless you find where you are anointed and what you are anointed to do. So I believe that there is a primary source of anointing in our lives. And out of that stream, out of that river, there are tributaries. I preach, that's what I live to do. I live to preach. But out of that river, there is a prophetic anointing. I prophesied over thousands and thousands of people in my ministry. There is an anointing to lead prayer. There's an anointing to do some other things. But my primary source of anointing is to preach and then to prophesy, to lead prayer. So Jesus said, I'm here to preach, and I'm here to heal, and I'm here to set the captive free. Now you realize he could teach, he could do some other things. But out of his anointing to preach came forth the other tributaries or the other things that he could possibly do in life. So some people are anointed to preach. Some people, their primary gift is to preach or to prophesy or to heal the sick. They have the gift of healing. They have anointing to heal the sick. Maybe they're anointed to do business. They just have a way of making money and bringing finances, funds into the kingdom of God. Maybe they're anointed to make movies, or maybe they're anointed to write books. Maybe they're anointed to play an instrument, or they're anointed to sing or to write songs, or to do mechanics. So we find that sweet spot in our lives, the thing that really makes us tick. And when the anointing is there, we stand up to speak, or to declare, or to write, or to sing, or to play an instrument or do business. And when we're not anointing, we sit down. And by sitting down, we learn not only what we're anointed to do, but when we are anointed, to be anointed. Hallelujah. So I am anointed to preach, but that doesn't mean that every time I preach, I'm necessarily anointed. And if I'm not, I need to sit down. Are you with me? I remember years ago I was called to Anaheim, California to minister to a group of leaders. And they were all staying at a hotel near the airport in Anaheim. And I was to be the one that particular day that was to minister. So I'll never forget, they met me at the airport. They paid my airfare. They gave me an honorarium and took me there. They set me on the front row. And the pastor said, "Now, when you get ready to get up, Dale, you just get up and whatever the Lord wants you to do." So I was sitting there, and the worship started. And I was waiting. And I was thinking, they're waiting for me. So I started to get up, and I heard the Holy Ghost say these words, "Sit down." And so I sat back down. And the worship continued on. I thought, well, you know, I've got to do something here. So the second time I started to stand up, and the Holy Ghost said to me, "Sit down." So I sat back down. And the worship was going on. And I tried to get up the third time. The third time, I heard the Holy Spirit call my name. He said to me, "Sit down, Dale." So I did. And pretty soon, somebody else got up and started to speak. And there were other people. They went throughout the entire day, and I never got up. At the end of the day, they took me back to the airport. I got on the plane and went back saying, "God, what was this? What was this all about?" And the Holy Spirit was saying, "You are anointed to speak, but sometimes there is no anointing for you to speak. And when there is no anointing, sit down." Because we do not create the anointing. Hallelujah. I may be gifted, I may be anointed, but I may not be anointed at that particular time for that particular place. And so the Holy Ghost is wanting us to learn how to operate with the anointing. I was so thrilled when I was invited to minister to a conference that 10,000 people were attending in Lincoln, England. It was under a large tent. I'd never ministered to that many people at one time. I had led prayer at Wembley Stadium, but just actually to get up and preach and minister, I'd never done that. So I stayed in my hotel room all day long trying to write down what I was going to say. I spent little time in prayer. I was just, you know, with that many people, I mean, this is a one-shot deal. I mean, how often do you have an opportunity where 10,000 people are gathering? And I'd got the opportunity because I'd prophesied to the leader of that group a few years earlier about what was going to happen, and it all came to pass. So I was introduced, and they were playing the music, and I went up, and I was never anointed. I struggled through the whole message, and I went back to my hotel, the worst night probably of my life, in total humiliation. And I was so surprised because 2 days earlier, I was ministering in one of the day sessions, and there was probably just a few hundred people there. And one of my spiritual sons, Godfrey Bertle, was leading. He came here one time. He was leading the worship, and I got up. And the moment I got up and started to minister, the anointing just fell upon the whole group. And pretty soon people were on the floor, and the glory of God came. I never hardly said a word. It was just I stood up, and the anointing came like a rushing mighty wind. And I was anointed. Although I didn't say much, I was anointed. The anointing was there. And a couple of nights later, when I got up, the anointing was not there. I should have sat down. But I struggled for 25 or 30 minutes, and finally, in total humiliation, and the Holy Spirit having to teach me a valuable lesson in front of 10,000 people that was attending, when there are times when you're anointed and there are times when you're not anointed. The Bible said that Jesus read these words. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. He sat down. I believe the Holy Spirit desires for us, first of all, to find that sweet spot in our lives, that passion, that desire, that primary call, primary anointing, and out of that we're to operate, but we need to operate with the anointing. We may be anointed to do certain things, but the anointing may not come at certain times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And why should we try to do anything else except for what we are anointed to do? Hallelujah. Kirotisi ibromo uribe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the anointing comes in different levels. Sometimes it's light. Sometimes it's medium. Sometimes it's heavy. I have to say, one of the heaviest times in my 52 years of preaching, one of the heaviest anointings I've ever had was right here in this auditorium after Darren Shaw sang, "Darling, You Send Me." When he started singing the old Sam Cooke classic, I thought, oh, this is it. This is it. This is not going to work. But I stood up in this auditorium, and I began to minister, and the glory of God fell on this place. Heavy, heavy anointing. Hallelujah. We celebrate the anointing, whatever level it is. It may be a light anointing. We say, well, the pastor, he's operating under a light anointing today. It's okay. Maybe a medium anointing. It could be heavy anointing. But the anointing, and it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the supernatural ability to do things beyond your ability, beyond the realm of the natural. The anointing, glory to God, the anointing takes us into the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. That's why in some churches I simply do not fit, because I try to stay in the realm of the light anointing. I can preach under the light anointing. If some pastor said, "I don't speak in tongues today, Dale. This is Sunday morning," then I may be a light anointing. But if I get under a heavy anointing, then I begin to speak in tongues, and I begin to pound on things, and I begin to wave my hands. I begin to do a chop here and there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kerote si kerote ishikete. It's the anointing. And why should I try to be anybody else or try to operate in any other dimension except with the anointing? And I must know, glory to God, when the anointing comes and I operate there, and I know that the anointing can come at any time or any place. I was ministering in London, England, and I was in Gene and I were ministering there in a 30-day, I ministered for 30 days in London, England, on Marsham Street, right near Parliament. And one day, a man came and said, "Would you go with me in the morning?" One of the church leaders. There's a group of people I would like for you to minister to. He said, "Would you go with me?" And I said, "Okay, I'll go." And when we got there, he pulled up in the front of a pub. And we went into the pub, and I'm thinking, are we in the right place? And so he led me on through the pub. It was early in the morning. It hadn't really opened yet, but it was starting to open, and the bartender was tinkling the glasses, and you could hear the sound. And he took me to the back room of the pub. And I'm thinking, surely he's not going to want me to speak to this group, because it was a different type of group of people. And but he said, "Yeah, Dale, I want you to talk to this group of people." And I could hear them starting to gather in the front in the pub, and they were starting to. You could hear them with their glasses, and I'm thinking, "That's not going to work out at all." But I stood up, and as I began to speak, the anointing came. And it came in a dimension that I had never experienced before, the glory of God. It was like the glory of God, because the anointing attracts the glory. We talk about the glory, but it's like, eriti uru. We talk about the glory, but it's the anointing that attracts the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was like the anointing came and then the glory came. And it descended on the place, and pretty soon everybody was weeping and laughing and crying and rejoicing and speaking in tongues. And I don't know exactly what happened. For 2 or 3 hours, it was like I just got caught up in the glory cloud, and it was just the anointing, heavy, heavy anointing. The Bible talks about the anointing that came at times upon the priest where they could not stand because of the anointing. Hallelujah. And I love the anointing. I cherish the anointing. It's invaluable in my life. And each of us, We may not be anointed to preach or teach or prophesy, but there is a sweet spot in our life. There is a special anointing. And the person that does business, the anointing comes upon you. It's not one anointing to preach. It's not another anointing to do business. All same anointing. Hallelujah. I believe the anointing comes upon the business person, the inventor, the songwriter, the singer. This young lady that was up here singing, the moment she started singing, the anointing came. And I was just thinking, she's anointed. And it's not the quality. Hallelujah. I mean, you could not, if you tried to dissect some of the sermons I preach and say, what did he say and how could I do an outline of that? I mean, it could be very confusing. But the main thing is this sermon or message is it anointing? If not, I need to sit down. And when the anointing lifts, I need to sit down. Hallelujah. There's some people, they don't know how to operate with the anointing. If they learn how to operate with the anointing and they're singing or they're songwriting or they're preaching or their testimony or business or what gift of healing, whatever they, if they knew how to operate with the anointing, when to start and when to finish. And when you finish, sit down. Hallelujah. When the anointing leaves and you're trying to do a business deal, just get up and say, well, I'll be back. Hallelujah. I was ministering at a major youth gathering, 900 youth pastors, in Birmingham, England. And on Delirious, Martin Smith and Delirious, they were there singing, and I was preaching on Friday night. It was fantastic. And they had no chairs in the place, 900 youth leaders. They all had a cane, a stick, and they was beating on the floor. It was one of the most radical times. When I got through, they crowd surfed me, the only time I've ever been crowd surfed. If you've never been crowd surfed, I tell you, it's one of the most neatest things you could ever imagine. So 900 youth leaders, they were crowd surfing me all over the auditorium. Saturday was good, and then Sunday it went, and they kept waiting for me, and there was no anointing. And I kept waiting, but I knew that. And they finally looked at me, and I said, I don't have anything today. They'd invited me to be their speaker, but I said, I don't have anything. And I walked away thinking, well, I should have got up and said something or done something. No. Hallelujah. So if we're not anointed to do a business deal, excuse yourself from the board meeting or the meeting and wait for another time when the anointing comes. Kerute la brosikita ribeete, for that sweet spot to function in your life. Hallelujah. Kerato soto. And when your time comes, don't hesitate. Hallelujah. And when your time comes, don't hesitate. Teleshotori ishoku robo ute sikete. Now, there's a lot of things you go ahead and do in the natural, but I'm talking about the realm of the supernatural. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Boy, I'm thankful for that. But in every nation, whoever fears him, works righteousness, accepted by him, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed. Peter's preaching now. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. That's why I love the Holy Ghost so much. If he doesn't show up, Katie, bar the door. Hallelujah. Sit down, Dale. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He commanded us to preach to the people, testify to him all the prophets written witnesses that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who heard the word. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days at an extended meeting. Why? Because of the anointing. Hallelujah. There may be people that may outclass you, outdo you in the realm of the natural, but there is nobody that compares with you when you are anointed. Hallelujah. 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 I lead this group called Young Preachers International. That's young preachers from about 12 or 14 through 24. There's one young lady, her name is Mercy Johnson. She's about 20 years old, but there's nobody I'd rather hear pray than Mercy. When Mercy starts praying, you know she is anointed to pray. Hallelujah. Where's that sweet spot in your life? What are you anointed to do? I had a difficult time making an entrance into the ministry because I was trying to preach like Billy Graham or trying to preach like somebody. I knew eventually I couldn't do it. So I knew I was called to preach, but finding my place, that sweet spot in my life, what I was anointed to do. Hallelujah. Finding my place in my place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the prophets of old, the prophetic anointing would come when they had a minstrel who was very anointed. And the minstrel began to pray, and then they'd begin to prophesy. Then they'd begin to do exploits. So Eric is going to play a while, and we're just going to pray a while. Eric is anointed to play. The glory comes. The anointing comes. Hallelujah. One ball head to another, proclaiming the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of you, hallelujah, who has experienced the Holy Ghost. How many of you have experienced the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand.
Hallelujah.
Every one of you are anointed. You're anointed. Hallelujah. There's a river of anointing somewhere. And out of that river, there's some tributaries. I can prophesy. I'm anointed to prophesy. I'm anointed to lead prayer. But my primary river is preaching. When I preach, then I prophesy. Then I lead prayer. Do you understand? So I'm praying for you today, right now, that all of you will comprehend and discern and know what you are anointed to do. And when you are released in your anointing, hallelujah. And when you work under the anointing, when you are to sit down, understanding, I've had to learn over the years in my ministry, you minister until there is a until you're emptied out, and then sit down or walk out. Don't keep going. Don't overextend your stay. You know what I'm saying? Don't overextend your stay. Don't wear out your welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray for you right now. I extend my hand to you now that you will become very aware of that primary source, that primary well that is in your life. It's called the anointing. Hallelujah. Given to you by the Holy Ghost, where you operate in a realm or a dimension of the supernatural. And that you honor that. Hallelujah. 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 And don't let anybody the Lord came and took your anointing. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It's a lie. He didn't come and take your anointing. Hallelujah. And you say, well, how can I keep that river flowing? The Bible said, the prophet said, I'm going to stir myself up. I'm going to stir myself up to take hold of God. So what do I do to keep the anointing flowing? To preach after 52 years, I pray in the Holy Ghost. I stir myself up. How about doing it right now? You want to stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're anointed to teach, don't try to get up and preach. Just teach. Don't let anybody pressure you into being something that you are not in the spirit realm. Get a brote. The anointing. The anointing. The anointing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The anointing. Stir yourself up. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. The anointing. It's the anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Somebody can sing, "Darling, you send me," and the anointing can come. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In a major auditorium or in the back of a pub, he can do it any way he wants to. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 You're anointed. You're anointed. The anointing. The anointing is upon every one of you that have accepted Jesus, that have been filled with the Spirit in particular. The anointing. What am I anointed to do? I knew a man years ago, the anointing was just on his singing. And every time he would get up to sing, I mean, this is his full-time ministry. He'd just get up and start singing in English, and he'd start singing in tongues, and pretty soon the glory of God would fall, and people would be healed, saved, lives would be changed and transformed. The glory of God would just come. Just everywhere he went, he was just standing to sing. It was not his talent or ability. It was the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Every one of you anointed. Hallelujah. Kibrishikate. Hallelujah. And the same, it's the same. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's not different Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Kibroshikite rite sikabata. Hallelujah. Come on, just let the Holy Ghost fill you up right now. God is not a partial God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no impartiality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's he going to anoint? Well, everybody has that anointing, but he's going to anoint those that are just hungry and thirsty for him. Long for him. I hunger for you. I long for you. I have this passion for God. How do you keep going for 52 years? You just keep having this passion for God. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. Hallelujah. The anointing. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just stand and worship him a little. The anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks you through in your business. It's the anointing that breaks you through in the music world. It's the anointing that breaks you through in the political realm. It's the anointing that comes upon you. It's the anointing. Some of you retreated, but God's still waiting. You say, "Well, I lost time. I missed my opportunity." No, opportunities keep coming around again. Huh? Well, I lost the anointing. No, you didn't lose the anointing. That's all deception. So, well, years ago I preached and now I'm not preaching anymore. Why not? You got criticized or things didn't go wrong. You got disappointed in God. All kinds of things can happen. Hallelujah. How about getting re-anointed?